Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, sheltering from the rain edition. I'm here with Professor Richard Sloan, and we are sheltering from a sudden thunderstorm that came on, but that's okay. And before we get going, remember, go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send shekels, and go to nationalbugle.com, download the Kosher to Fight app. You too can lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Richard Sloan.
Hello, hello.
Are you non-kosher certified?
I think so. I should be. I'm non-kosher as far as I know.
Non-kosher. And, all right, let's just start talking about something. So, the rain is welcome. It's going to wash away stuff. It's going to lower the temperature. We've been having a lot of hot weather this summer. And it's going to lower the temperature. Riots. We've been having riots. We got an election coming up. We got Kabbalah Haaretz. Is that okay to say her name like that?
Well, I've been saying Kamala just because we've got the English language name Pamela with a P. I never knew anybody named K-A-M-A-L-A in my childhood, did you?
No, it's not an American name.
Yeah, so I have no idea how to pronounce it. So I just assumed it was Kamala. I heard people say Kamala. I've heard Joe Biden say Kamala.
Yeah, and she looks like a camel.
She sort of does, yes.
She sort of does. But apparently it's racist and sexist to say Kamala because her name is, she says it's, or Richard Goodstein says it's Kamala.
Right.
But I say, what about just calling her Kabbalah and you can be racist, sexist, and anti-Semitic at the same time?
Those are good points. My question to, what's his name?
Richard Goodstein.
Richard Goodstein, my question to you is, when did it become Kamala? I mean, she's been a figure in the primaries all this year and much of last year, and we've been calling her Kamala.
Kamala.
Has everybody been wrong all this time, or did they change her
Kamala, 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 and now he's saying it's Kamala. Well, who cares?
Well, my feeling is she's sort of a Trojan camel, isn't she? They kept Joe Biden there so that they could get her in, but now that she's locked in place, don't you think an October surprise is suddenly going to find Joe Biden in the hospital with COVID-19, and now we're going to need a new VP? Who's going to be your pick for second VP?
So we're, Kamala is going to be picking, she's going to be elevated to the presidential candidate position? Could be.
Don't you think? I mean, maybe
yeah.
Joe Biden will stay in place long enough so that Kamala or Kamala doesn't have to debate Donald Trump. But it seems to me like you'd want to take advantage of the opportunity to sneak in the candidates you really want just before the election comes. And COVID-19 is the perfect excuse, right? Oh, poor sleepy Joe. He's slept himself into a coma with COVID-19.
A Kamala.
So now, what's her name? Kabbalah is now the default presidential candidate. So who's she going to pick for her VP?
Mm-hmm.
Who are your choices, Dr. Slattery? Who are your predictions?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. But, you know, that's not as far-fetched as it might seem. I'd like to remind people, in 1972, at the Democratic Convention, it nominated George McGovern as president. And then he selected, and the convention confirmed the nomination of Thomas Eagleton as his vice presidential candidate. Then after the convention ended, it came out that Eagleton had had electroshock therapy for depression in the past. And people thought, I don't know if we want a president who's suffered from such severe depression that he had electroshock therapy. So he removed himself from the ticket, and several weeks later, McGovern got the Democratic National Committee, not a convention, but the committee to confirm his choice of Kennedy's Kennedy cousin or Kennedy in-law, Sergeant Shriver. Some people might remember that. And so the idea that a nominated candidate from the convention could drop off and be replaced, that can happen, and it's happened in living memory.
When you think about it, a lot of American history is pretty far-fetched when you read back through it. It's just that the far-fetched things are happening closer and closer together now.
So you've got, for instance, the contested election of 1876, which wasn't settled until, I think, March 2nd. Now, Inauguration Day was March 4th back then, so Rutherford B. Hayes was inaugurated and Joseph Tilden let it happen. But it took until the beginning of March to work out who was going to be president. And, of course, now we have the Inauguration Day has been moved up about 6 weeks to January 20th. And so, you know, I've been asking, are we even going to know by then? But, you know, you're raising this other point of on Election Day, November 3rd, I mean, even if the convention, the Democratic Convention nominates a Biden-Harris ticket, is Biden even going to last until Election Day? And that's a question.
Right. Well, the question that I was posing to you is I was saying, let's rub our hands together and pretend that we're plotters and schemers, and let's think, if we could get Biden out by using COVID-19 as an excuse, and we could sneak in somebody at the last minute with no time to vet that person, and that person doesn't have to come up through the usual ranks and usual channels, who would be an ideal person to get your to get the Democrat candidate into office in November and inaugurated in January?
So Kabbalah Harretz has been a party favorite, and the establishment, a big hunk of the establishment a year ago was behind her. But she didn't do well in the primary, in the primary debates. She didn't do well in the debates. She got knocked around by Tulsi Gabbard and never made it very far. So on the assumption that if Biden were to be sidelined conveniently by COVID or whatever, I think it would be probably a fair assumption that Kamala Harris would be elevated to the presidential slot. I mean, they could decide to bring in somebody else as a presidential candidate, but on the assumption that they would elevate Kamala Harris, then who would be? Well, they wouldn't have to pick a woman, although they could. They could pick somebody like Cory Booker, who then you'd have two blacks. But presumably, if Kamala Harris was at the top of the ticket, they would put somebody, probably a white man, in the second slot.
That's exactly my thinking. As you said, Kamala Harris is a favorite of the Democratic Party. She's not a favorite of the people that the Democrats are hoping will come out and vote. People really don't like her. She rubs people the wrong way. Whereas a pleasing person that looks like you or me could help get the vote. So if we were casting, if we were free to cast anybody who you know, we wanted to, who would we pick for that slot?
So then the question is, like, how many Democrats, let's just say white male Democrats, even have national profiles right now? I mean, you could get to, often the vice presidential candidate doesn't even have a national profile and is an unknown. But in this case, so you've got a couple of governors. You got Governor Newsom. There is a technicality of having them both from the same state because California's electors wouldn't be able to vote for both of them for president and vice president. That's a little constitutional quirk. And then you got Cuomo, but would Cuomo want to be a running mate? Who knows?
Well, he's picked up a lot of popularity of recent months.
He had picked up an awful lot of exposure and popularity in the early part of the year, but he's vulnerable now because so many people in New York, died in the old folks' homes.
Right, but New York's already voting Democrat. So we don't have to fill that slot in order to get votes in New York. We have to fill that slot in order to get Democrat votes in middle America, in the swing states. And you stick somebody like Andrew Cuomo in there, and that just might do it.
Okay, well,
Also a lot of people who are still stinging that Hillary Clinton didn't win in 2016. This is their chance to own the Republicans.
Put her in either first or second.
Put her
position.
In either first or second.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, let's play this game of thinking like schemers, and you know, if God forbid something tragic were to happen to Joe Biden at the zero hour before November 3rd, is it November 3rd this year?
November 3rd.
Now, you know, you can pretty much fill that vacancy with anybody you like. Who would be the ideal pick to maximize the number of people you're going to get coming to the polls?
Well, here's another one. I believe it's the 1868 or 1872, I can't remember. It was one of Ulysses S. Grant's runs, and the Democrats didn't even nominate anybody to run against him. There was a Republican named Horace Greeley that the Democrats nominated a Republican newspaper publisher, Horace Greeley, I believe that's who it was, maybe this was 72, we'll have to check this, but to run. Now, Grant won the election, but Greeley died before the Electoral College met. And so the Democratic electors just voted for a bunch of different people. So you have this other time segment between November 3rd and I believe it would be about December 15th when the electors meet. So you have about a 6-week period there. And what would happen if Biden is incapacitated or withdraws or whatever at that point? And, you know, again, you'd have this, the same conversation. Would the electors be instructed to vote for Kamala for president and then somebody else for vice president? So even if Biden makes it to election day, I mean, people could go and vote for Biden on November 3rd. And then December 15th, he could already be gone.
Yes, you're posing a different question. My assumption was the Biden-Harris ticket might not be popular enough, and Biden might not win the election. But yes, if the Biden-Harris ticket won the election, you know, no matter what, Biden's gone, I think. Biden's already got 1 foot, you know, in a hospital bed, I think, or in the old folks' home. If you get through the election with the Biden-Harris ticket, and then it's time to get rid of Biden, well, now you don't have to pick somebody popular. Now you can pick somebody that people can hate, as long as you, the Democratic Party, like that person and want that person.
So, okay, so you've got... All right, so then you've got... So we've got one segment going up to the election where Biden could be replaced. You got another section between the election and the Electoral College meeting where Biden could be replaced, but the calculus of who to replace him with would be completely different. Then you've got between the day the Electoral College meets and the day the electoral votes are counted, which would be around January 7th, I think, in a typical year. So that's about 3 weeks or so. You've got the potential... especially if the Electoral College, if like last time, an alternative choice is voted on. Like last time, Colin Powell got 3 votes from Hillary electors in Washington State. They voted for Colin Powell instead, which made him, if when counting the electoral votes, if they had been able to challenge enough votes to deprive Donald Trump of a majority, then it would be thrown into the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives could have chosen Trump, Hillary, or Colin Powell. Those would be the 3 choices they would have. So So you've got that type of shenanigans that can go on, and I think it's very, very likely that you're going to have, unless it's a landslide, unless it's obvious that one side or the other won, and you know, you've got a concession speech and everything, unless you've got that, I think you're going to have much more serious challenge than before. Because we remember, if you watched the Michael Moore movie, do you remember the Michael Moore movie, Fahrenheit 9/11?
Yep.
And you remember the scene in it at the beginning where they're counting the electoral votes?
Yep.
And
not even Al Gore would raise a formal protest against the election.
Al Gore, not only did he not raise a formal protest, but he was the presiding officer as the sitting vice president, and he overruled all of the protests, all of the objections. He overruled the objections because they were raised by representatives and none of them had a senator to sign on to.
Yep.
And then in 2016, Joe Biden, as the presiding officer, did the exact same thing, overriding the objections of, you know, people like Barbara Lee and Sheila Jackson Lee and Jamie Raznick, I think is his name, and, you know, these others, House of Representatives members who were objecting to votes from states like Alabama, which had clearly gone for Donald Trump, but they were objecting to them on the grounds that Russia hacked the election. But no senator. They were trying to get Cory Booker to join on, and he didn't. But this time, so both in 2016, no senator would participate with the objections. But this time, wouldn't a senator join in? I mean, Kamala Harris will be a senator. She will still be in the Senate on January 7th. She could join in. A whole bunch of other people. You got Cory Booker. I mean, they didn't get him last time, but they could get him. Maybe Bernie Sanders. There's a whole bunch of people. And after 4 years of Trump, and after Black Lives Matter and everything, and then what happens? And there's so many things. I know I've talked about it before, but you could have... the thing is, you could have, if the votes are challenged, then the two houses of Congress have to retire, and each time votes of a state are challenged, then for that state, they have to go and retire to their own respective chambers and meet on it and discuss it and come back. And all sorts of things could happen. There's that.
Well, we played the game of looking at it from the Democrat point of view. Let's turn the board around and figure out what the strategy is now from the Republican point of view, assuming that Donald Trump wants to win. Donald Trump has got a lot of points against him because the economy is really bad and the economy is only going to get worse. And a lot of people are unhappy about the government's response to COVID-19 and having to wear masks, and Donald Trump is looking a lot
as you were saying
as I was saying before that last bunch of thunder. Donald Trump is looking a lot less favored than he was 6 months ago. One advantage he's always had is he's great in debates, but you don't need to debate Joe Biden because Joe Biden defeats himself every time he opens his mouth. The presumptive president, or the presumptive candidate for the Democrats, is actually Kamala. But Donald Trump won't be debating Kamala as long as Joe Biden stays in the driver's seat and Kamala's riding shotgun. She gets to debate Mike Pence. Do you think Mike Pence is going to destroy Kamala the way that Donald Trump would?
Well, we'll talk about that when we get back in the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
And we are back. So, Mike Pence, do you even remember the debate between Mike Pence and Tim Kaine, who was Hillary's running mate?
No, I don't remember it.
I don't either. I know I watched it, but I don't remember it. So it wasn't memorable. The Biden-Sarah Palin debate was a little bit memorable as they both kind of tripped over each other and saying how much they loved Israel. I remember that part.
Well, the point is, I think that Kabbalah could easily destroy Mike Pence. Mike Pence is the poster boy for everything that Kabbalah supporters hate. You know, he's the stereotypical privileged white male, anti-abortion, pro-Christian, anti-gay. You know, he's everything that Kabbalah could go in swinging against and perform really well. And I sort of think that these things are happening for a reason. If Joe Biden would drop out before the debates, and if they were to, if Kabbalah were to take on a candidate who now becomes a vice presidential candidate, Trump gets to debate Kabbalah, and you and I would probably watch and remember that debate.
We'd watch and remember it. So, I mean, there's, if you had somebody like even Tucker Carlson, who was just writing some points, because Kamala Harris has a variety of vulnerabilities, and some of them were have been exposed. I mean, Tulsi got her on the hypocrisy of having put so many people in prison in California on marijuana charges, and then laughed about having smoking marijuana herself, because of course she's Jamaican. And then Tucker Carlson's run clips of her taking these positions against plastic straws and red meat and things like that, which aren't huge deals, but of course you've got all these things going on with the Black Lives Matter and the hoaxes. And she was very close, and Tucker's mentioned this, she was very close to Jesse Smollett. They were friends. They've been friends for a while, and you can see pictures of them at demonstrations together. And he brought up that not only did she come to his defense when he, hoaxed that attack against him by MAGA supporters, he says that then she's never actually recanted it. But I'd go one step further, because I think it's perhaps, and maybe this isn't something that could be done in a debate, but I think she probably colluded in it, if anything, because she had anti-lynching legislation before Congress when this happened. And then this was supposedly a lynching, or, some sort of make-believe lynching. And it just seemed really, really convenient. I think any Kamala or any Democratic candidate is very, very vulnerable on a whole bunch of things. I mean, Kamala, in Democratic primary debates, like most of the candidates, came out in favor of free health care for illegal aliens, this type of stuff. So, Trump would go there. Would Pence go there? I don't know.
Well, that's the problem of the form that is the televised debate. It's all about gotcha moments, isn't it?
It is about gotcha moments, and that's what you remember. You remember 1976, Gerald Ford saying there's no Soviet domination of Poland. And that's probably all people remember. 1984, Mondale and Reagan. Probably all you remember, there was like three or four debates, and all you remember is probably the joke that Reagan made about not letting age become an issue, because he's not going to use the youth and inexperience of Mondale against him. And that's what people remember.
And we know that Dan Pence was no Jack Kennedy.
Yeah, Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle, yes. Quayle was no Jack Kennedy.
Yeah, even though we don't remember Dan Quayle.
And who was he debating? It's Lloyd something.
Lloyd Benson. Yeah, and so we remember that, and it wasn't even really a very good line, but it worked, and Quayle just was visibly seething in resentment. And said, "I resent that remark," or something like that.
He said something like, "That was uncalled for, yeah. Senator." And Benston responded, "Well, you're the one that was making the comparison, Senator." And Benston put stress on the word
Senator. He did. That's right. And all he was saying that is he's about as old as,
yes,
Kennedy was.
Quayle, for people that don't remember, was basically a kid by political standards. And Quayle was trying to make the point that, well, I'm about the same age as Jack Kennedy was when Jack Kennedy ran for president.
Yeah, which is true.
Benson said, "Yeah, but you're no Jack Kennedy."
And it was a very prepared line, but I guess he knew that comparison was going to come.
Right.
My
favorite line from the 2016 debates was Trump was saying, I can't remember the point Trump was making, it'll come back to me after I make this point, but Hillary responded, "Well, thank goodness you're not president." And Trump said, "Yeah, you'd be in jail." And that was a great line.
That was a great line. He was kind of stalking her around the stage menacingly. That actually was really, really good.
But my point is that, sadly, Kamala, even though it's sort of fake and not genuine, she's got that spunk to her. And Pence doesn't have any of that spunk. So I could see, Kamala skewing Pence a few times with remarks like that. I can't see Pence doing the reverse to her.
Because he's polite and probably wouldn't even be in a room with her unless his wife was with him. Okay, we'll be right back.
Heavenly flower.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You are my paradise completed.
Oh, lovely Leilandia.
You are my dream.
Okay, and speaking of being in a room alone with Kamala Harris, she did seem to sleep her way to the top, right?
Well, that's what everybody says. I don't like even thinking about that. I don't like even imagining that.
Willie Brown. Yeah, okay. Well, then we don't really have to
Go ahead. I just won't. I won't create any pictures in my head that you can remind your audience of the...
So, yeah, 29-year-old Kamala Harris had taken up a relationship with 60-year-old Willie Brown, who was the Speaker of the California State Assembly. He was a big deal. In the late 80s, he was next to the governor, and they had Republican governors in the late 80s. You had, was it Pete Brown first and then George Duke Majian? Do those names ring a bell?
They both ring a bell, but I couldn't tell you what order they came.
And they were Republicans. They were Republicans. And so for much of that time, the highest-ranking Democratic elected official in California was Willie Brown. So he was basically running the Democratic Party in California for quite some time. And Kamala Harris was his mistress. And this is in the open. Willie Brown has admitted that they were dating. Willie Brown was married at the time. And he says that he appointed her to a couple of commissions, and you know, if you're 29 years old and you get appointed to some, you know, state assembly commissions looking at this or looking at that, those are credentials that you can you can utilize to get into a political career. That's a big step up. And then, of course, when she ran for, I think it was district attorney of San Francisco, and at that point, Willie Brown was the mayor of San Francisco, and he was very instrumental in raising funds for her. So there you go. And then also there's the relationship that she had, the alleged relationship she had with Beau Biden when they were their respective state's attorneys general, because these attorneys general do get together from time to time. Beau Biden was attorney general of Delaware, and she was of California, and they got together and apparently got along. So, which was one of the reasons that Joe Biden was supposedly so shocked that Kamala Harris accused him of not being a racist, but she called him not a racist, but yeah.
If you check the Wikipedia page, I think it still refers to Kamala Harris as an African American. You can be you can have Caribbean blood and Indian blood and be married to a Jew, and somehow the combination of that makes you African American.
Yes. And you know, if you're like an African American who is the descendant of American slaves, right? And then you look around at all of the people you're supposed to vicariously, you know, be successful through. You look at Obama. He's not the descendant of American slaves. You look at Kamala Harris. No, I mean, her parents had just immigrated maybe a year or two before she was born. Or, you know, other people like Colin Powell, lots of others. So you're still not seeing your own people actually succeeding that much. You know, there's some tokens here and there, but the main tokens aren't even from your own people. These are people who might as well be in blackface. But,
Sheila Jackson's one of their own, but Sheila Jackson's not in blackface, she's in beige face. Sheila Jackson wears so much makeup that we're not really sure what her color is underneath, are we?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Here's something. Oh, nice rainbow, by the way.
Oh, wow.
That's what happens when you get a sudden thunderstorm and then it clears. So these things happen. And it's not a gay rainbow. You know the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Yeah, I do know that song.
All right. So there is, and if I can find it, I'll put it on this episode, but there is a Engelbert Poindexter version of that song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I can't remember the rest of the lyrics, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay. But this is what I wanted to ask you. Kanye West is actually an African American, right?
He is.
I mean, I think he grew up partly in China. I don't know if he speaks much Chinese. I think his mother was teaching English in China or something. But he's. I think he's got a lot more street cred with most blacks than Kamala Harris, who's somebody that they probably never heard of until about a year ago.
You know, we just heard that Kamala Harris was going to be the vice presidential nominee, and I haven't really had time to think about the Kanye West factor. I tend to suspect that they weren't thinking about it either, because as you and I just touched upon, Kamala Harris is really a fake African-American. Mm-hmm. And you got this real African-American who's going to ask everybody. I think there will be a significant number of African-Americans who would rather write in Kanye than have to vote for Biden-Harris.
And he's going to be on the ballot in a lot of states. Maybe not half the states, but in a lot of states. And he could be a factor. Do you even remember the name? What was his name? Something McMullen. He was on the ballot in Idaho and Utah. He was some former CIA Mormon guy. Do you remember that from 2016?
Yeah, I'm afraid it's not my...
Evan McMullen, that was his name. And yeah, I mean, I wasn't even aware of him until like a month or so before the election, but he had gotten on the ballot as an independent in a few western states. And actually, I mean, he got pretty significant share of the vote in one of those states, Wyoming or somewhere. And, you know, the idea was, would he be able to take enough votes away from anti-Trump Republican conservatives to swing a vote, to swing a state to Hillary? And the answer was no, but he did take a lot of votes. And but you see, those states out there, Idaho and Wyoming and Utah, are typically you would expect a Republican to get 65-70% of the vote. And so the task for Evan McMullen in these states was pretty huge. But I'm not sure, and I'll have to look into this, which states Kanye's getting on the ballot in. But I think he is going to be on the ballot in Michigan, which is a very, very close state. And, you know, it's got Detroit. And if you're in Detroit and you don't particularly like Biden or Kamala, the task for Kanye it's not to get 20% of the vote. It could be just getting 1% of the vote, or 1 or 2%.
So if you're the Democratic Party in Michigan, your mission is to arrange it so that Black Panther plays on TV on November 3rd, or something pornographic or semi-pornographic. Some people are going to stay home for it. You don't want blacks going to the polls on November 3rd, is my point.
But if they're going to go and vote for Kanye.
If you're a Democrat, you don't want that to happen. If you're the Democratic Party.
Exactly. Yeah, but if they're not voting for Biden, it doesn't help either. Voting for nobody and voting for Kanye is the same thing as far as the Democrats are concerned. So, you know, people might not take him very seriously. But think of you know, Gary Johnson, who was the Libertarian candidate. And, of course, he was on the ballot in all 50 states. He got like 2.5% of the vote. And Jill Stein got well over 1% of the vote. And so you're talking about, and now they may have canceled each other out to a large extent, but this time, I don't know, I mean, Gary Johnson was a former governor, and his running mate was a former governor. So, and the Libertarians are very organized. So, but this time the Libertarians are going to have just like some internal person who has a low profile. And of course, Johnson had run in 2012, as I recall, too. So he was known to voters reasonably well. And then Jill Stein, she had also run in 2012, and then she was running in 2016 for the Greens. And so she was reasonably well known. This time, the Greens have a much lower profile candidate, Howie Hawkins, who, if you're not familiar with the Greens, you've never heard of him. He was just a labor organizer. He's not gonna get nearly the money or the organization or name recognition. So the I think the Libertarian and Green Party candidates probably aren't going to draw that much, but Kanye, I think, is a real wild card. So, do you know any Kanye songs?
Well, Gold Digger is I think the best known among sort of non-rap people. You know Gold Digger, don't
no,
you?
No, I don't. I don't know any of his songs.
Okay.
I did see, didn't he do like an Apple commercial or something? A commercial for Apple phones, iPhones?
Possible. I don't recall.
So I have seen him perform, and I think it was in an Apple commercial. And didn't candidate Donald Trump appear on Saturday Night Live in 2015, maybe? And didn't he do a takeoff of that Apple commercial?
Oh, is that a takeoff of an Apple commercial? I remember that. I remember, yeah, he was dancing around in a strange way, but I didn't realize it was a takeoff of an Apple commercial.
I think it was a takeoff of an Apple commercial.
Yeah, see, we're not serving your audience well. Your audience is screaming at the computer, yeah, it was an Apple commercial.
Oh, well.
Sorry, we're so out of touch.
So, well, anyway. Well, let's go back to the question. Does Trump really even want to win the election? Because you do hear people ask that question.
Yeah, I'm tempted to ask it because there seem to be so many things I would do if I wanted to win this next election that Trump isn't even considering. One thing I would do is, you know, I would nationalize some of these media companies like Google and Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, they're not immediately going to rise to the occasion, but in the meantime, I would have long ago established alternatives. There should be a channel that should be the U.S. government channel that should just broadcast press conferences and important messages to the public about COVID-19 and et cetera, so that when you're listening to CNN and you're just getting spin, you could switch over to Channel 1, the U.S. government channel, and you could go directly to the source. This is just one random thing, but there are like 10 or 20 of those that if you and I were pressed to name, we could name. But there are obvious things that Trump could be doing that he doesn't have to be reelected to do, that he's just not doing.
But on the other hand, if he's not reelected, do you think that he would get thrown in jail, which has never happened in the United States? But, you know, Nixon did kind of get driven in. You know, he had to be pardoned, and then he was in kind of some sort of internal exile. What's going to happen to Trump? Would they actually go after him, or once they get him out of office, would they just, like, forget about him?
I don't know. I think that there are so many Trump haters that there are probably people that won't let it go to bed, that will continue to hound him and try to cause him misery. But in either case, that doesn't help us answer the question of, is he trying to win this election or not? Can't you think of strategies that he could be adopting that he hasn't seemed to adopt it? I mean, one of the biggest ones is if Barr is not going to be prosecuting people who are trying to pull down statues and breaking into shopping centers, he should get a new attorney general, right?
One would think. But, you know, in spite of the catchphrase on his Apprentice show, he hasn't been that good in firing people. He's been even worse in hiring people. He's gotten hardly anybody who actually supports his agenda. He's surrounded by people who are trying to undermine him.
Well, the reason I jumped to Barr is because I wanted to say he should be sending the National Guard to all of these cities that are just having riots every night. But I thought if I went straight to that, you would say, oh, well, you know, he gives his generals orders and they don't obey him. So, you know, the National Guard can only do so much. They can break up riots, but they can't prosecute people, so it goes back to somebody like Barr.
So here's a question, because we don't have a whole lot of time left. So we have seen the establishment, whether that we're talking about the media, whether we're talking about, you know, the Democratic Party, whether we're talking about maybe intelligence services or whatever, but there's corporations. There's an establishment, and they were able to get these riots going. Right, I mean, the riots were introduced top down, don't you think?
Yes.
And then the question is, do they actually control the riots, or to what extent, once they've unleashed these things, can they not control them?
Who's the they?
That's the question. I mean, my they is very amorphous. It's, you know, because I don't see a centralized command structure. Other people do.
Well, I say that there are ads in places like Craigslist that are recruiting Antifa. I think Antifa goes out with a playbook in some situations. There are actually two different kinds of protests happening. There are protests where mostly white people scream and make a lot of trouble, and there's sort of a standoff with the cops. And then maybe come nightfall, maybe some people get hurt and maybe some objects get thrown. And then there's the kind of riots where there's looting and there's the breaking of windows and there's the robbing of stores. And for some reason, there's a lot more black people in those riots. Yet the Black Lives Matter protests, they're going around carrying these BLM signs, but there seem to be a lot more white people in those. Anyway, we've gotten away from something. You and I are sitting in taking shelter, and we were getting away from a rainstorm, and now the storm is gone, and we've got this beautiful rainbow to look at. And if we'd have planned this episode rather than just sort of done it on the fly, now that I think about it, I would have liked to have made a list of 5 things or 10 things that Trump could be doing right now that would almost assure his getting reelected. And one of those would be he could just change the way that he communicates the coronavirus statistics. Remember, he used to give those press conferences every day, and it was those press conferences that actually made Fauci a household name, and then he just stopped doing them. And every time somebody asked him about, you know, all of the COVID-19 cases, all of the infections that we're seeing in the United States, he says, oh, well, that's because we're doing so many tests. But he never really connects the dots. He never really creates that soundbite that he needs to create. He needs to combat that, you know, thousands of infections with, well, three deaths in this state, zero deaths in this state. The number of people dying of coronavirus are way, way down. If you were to express the statistics not in terms of how many infections there are, but what percentage of the people infected are actually dying, you would see that the number is minuscule, and it's way down from March, April. And it's not that easy, it's not that difficult to say, and Trump understands it, but he doesn't seem like he's trying to make that point to the public.
Well, that's a mystery. Okay, we are up on the break. We'll be right back.
Pay attention. We're going to sing together, okay? Tiny bubble. Make me happy. Eat your hot lunch. Make me feel fine.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And we are back. And so that idea of a list of 5 or 10 items that Trump would definitely win if he ran on, I don't think we can do that in a 4-minute segment, but maybe you can come back and we'll do that on the next show.
I'll come back, but between the two of us, we've only got so many IQ points and you've got this brilliant audience. So if some members of your audience want to send in ideas, we can incorporate those into our list.
And if you want to send in ideas, you can contact, you can email, it's the Patrick and Jeremy Show at yahoo.com. You can find that by going to National Bugle. www.lifeline.com. You'll find it. And I guess that's it. Thank you so much.
Not at all. We'll do it again.
And you will... Well, I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.